Okay, everybody smile at me. This is a neat day, isn't it? It's Mother's Day. I'm thankful that we as a nation set aside each year to honor our mothers, to honor women. Because we as a nation aren't very good at honoring them, as a nation as a whole. And I'm thankful that at least we have a conscience to be able to set aside a day that we can really lift up the women of our country and the mothers of our country. And that's what I'd like for us to be able to do tonight as a church. And when I use the word church, every time that I use it in my thinking, I'm always thinking of the word family. Because I think a church is a family above all else. It's not so much that we go to church, it's that we are the church. And more than anything else, a church is a family. You're my brothers, and you're my sisters, and you're my mothers, and you're my fathers. And I'm to you in that same respect. And so tonight I'm asking, it's been my prayer all week, that God would do something special tonight. Not only for the women, but for us men. Because I think we men need more ministering where women are concerned than the women do. But it's my prayer tonight that God would do something, that He would say something to us as a family that would enable us to really see womanhood the way God sees it, to see motherhood the way that God sees it. I've been very challenged in my studying, preparing for this message tonight. Usually when I prepare for a message, I get real excited and I study and I see an insight and I go, "Ooh, praise the Lord," or I go, "Ooh, amen, oh, I can't wait to say this, and I can't wait to say that." But everything that I say tonight, I say with a lot of fear and trepidation, because I couldn't say a whole lot of amens this week when I was preparing. I had to say quite a few oh me's, because I saw the standard. How many people know that God sets the standard? Not the world. The world tries to set a standard where women are concerned. But God sets a standard. He's the only one qualified to set the standard. And it's His standard that we need to measure ourselves by, not the standard of this world, or not by the standard of somebody down the street. We might measure ourselves by our neighbors and say, "Well, I'm a better husband and a better father than he is." But your neighbor's not the standard. How many people know the neighbor's not the standard? I'm not the standard. God is the standard. And He says some very important things in the Word where women are concerned. He says a lot more about women than I thought He did as I was studying. And it's been exciting for me. So let's pray together as a family that God would open up our hearts and that we would hear something from Him tonight. That we would hear a word that would pierce into our conscience, that would pierce into our thinking, a word that would be planted and would take root and produce some fruit. Because that's what I'd like to see, is it to produce some fruit in all of our lives. I'd like to be able to people to say about River of Life Covenant Church, "Now there's a church where the men really know how to esteem their wives. There are men that really know how to treat the women of their congregation." People might want to measure our family by a standard, even though it's God's standard. Let's pray. Father, I personally would ask for clarity tonight. And Holy Spirit, I would ask in the midst of that clarity that You would empower it with conviction. Godly conviction. Lord, the kind of conviction that would produce repentance. Not only in my life, but in the lives of all the men that are in this room tonight. And even in the lives of some of the women. Father, that Your Spirit would work in amongst this message tonight. That You'd anoint it corporately, that we all might hear something and that we'll hear the same sound, and as a family we'll seek to prepare ourselves and ready ourselves for whatever that sound might be in our lives. But I'd also ask that You anoint it for individuals. Lord, that there might be something that is said tonight what don't really mean a whole lot to one, but will mean a whole lot to another. Lord, that you would use the word tonight, that you would use it very skillfully to mold and shape this congregation and this people for your glory. Father, we want to know the standard, and we want to try to, by the power of that Spirit, live up to that standard. We would ask that you would empower us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn with me to Proverbs 31. A familiar passage of Scripture, but I want to read it with a little bit of new enthusiasm. I've entitled this message tonight, Esteeming Womanhood. Esteeming Womanhood, because that's what I'd like for us as a church to be able to do, to esteem womanhood. Now the definition of esteem, and the one that we're going to be working from tonight, to esteem something means to prize something, to hold it up, to set a high value on it, to regard it with reverence and respect. I believe that God would have all of us men tonight to esteem our women and our mothers, to prize them, to set a high value on them, to regard them with a lot of reverence and a lot of respect. With that definition in mind, I'd like to dedicate tonight's message to our women, to all of you. I have fallen in love with the majority of you. Some more than others, because I know you some more than others, but I'm excited about what God is doing in your lives. I'm excited about the woman's Bible study. I'm excited about the retreat. I have a lot of pride in my heart, in a good sort of way, where our women are concerned. I really do. I'm blessed as a pastor to have women such as you in this congregation. So I'd like to dedicate this message tonight to you for the purpose of letting you know how much we men want to and will prize you. And to build you up, not only in our mind as men, but in your own minds as well. I think that if there's any place that Satan attacks a woman, he attacks her in the opinion that she has of herself. Most women struggle very, very hard with low self-esteem. That's part of their flesh. But God has an antidote to that. He really does. He knows it's in a woman to struggle with her image. And Satan is always attacking it. But there is an antidote to it in that he gave each woman a man. If not in the form of a husband, in the form of a father, or in the form of a friend, or in the form of a pastor. And it's our jobs as men to combat what Satan does in the lives of women. It's our job to esteem them, to build them back up, because the devil and the world, the way the world exploits women, the way the world looks at women is a very demeaning, inferior way. And if God's men won't do something about it, then there isn't anybody going to do anything. And so tonight is to build them up, not only in our minds, but in your minds as well. I would pray that God, by the power of His Spirit, would give you revelation on how He sees you. Not the way Satan tries to paint that he sees you, but the way he really sees you. And I'm going to try to attempt very feebly tonight to accomplish that task. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is the scriptures about the Proverbs 31 woman. Let me read this. It's a very powerful passage of scripture. Starting with verse 10, and I'll be reading out of the New International Version. It says, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" And they start out with a question, because of what they're about to say after that, you'd have to look high and low for a woman like this. That's why it starts out by saying, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She seems that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instruction and on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman fears the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. A wife of noble character who can find. Now that's an ideal woman if I've ever heard of it. Amen? And if you was to think right now, some of you anyway, unless God has given you revelation, you would try to think, I don't know anybody that fits that description. Especially you ladies are thinking, well, I don't fit that description. That's not me. That's an ideal that I'm shooting for, but I doubt if I'll ever hit it. I mean, those are some of the thinking that's going through your mind, and some of you husbands may even think the same things. Because the question is, truly, a wife like that, who can find? And I would let you know tonight that you can find it. In fact, it's so close, it might even bite you. You've heard the term, if it was any closer, it would bite you. Well, I want to tell you all tonight, if it was any closer, then it could bite you. The finding here that he's talking about is not the looking for something, but the discovering of something that you already have. Do you understand? The finding here, when it says, who can find a wife like that, of noble character, it's not going out and looking for somebody that fits that description. It's discovering that in something you already have. Discover means to find something that has before existed, but to you was unknown. Let me say that definition again. Discover means to find something that has before existed, but to us was unknown. Let me give you some examples of that. All physical growth is a discovering of what I was given at birth and learning how to use it. Everything that I needed to be the healthy, well-adjusted, smart, good-looking guy that I am today, and don't laugh, was given to me at birth. And all physical growth for me was, as I'm growing, is discovering what was already given to me and learning how to use it. Nothing has been added except knowledge and ability. Everything has been there when I was born. God didn't wait until I was 3 months old and decide to stick on some hands. Because up until then, they're basically useless. How many people know hands are useless for a baby until 3 months? But somewhere along the line, that baby discovers those hands she's already or he's already had. You know, all of a sudden, you ever see a baby when they discover, go, wow. You know, and then they start moving them all around, you know, trying to figure out what they can do with them. You know, and then the whole process of growth is after they discover those hands is to learn how to use it. Somewhere along the line, they discover they have legs. Up until that time, all they thought they had was knees. But they discover that they have legs. And once they discover it, and then they go through the process of learning how to use it. And for some of them, especially in walking, it's a painful process. Okay? Is learning how to use it. Somewhere along the line, we discover we have a brain. Some people never discover that. Okay? And then the whole process of it is then learning how to use what you've discovered or developing it to its potential. Amen? Spiritual growth is the same way. Spiritual growth is discovering what you was already given at birth as a Christian and then learning how to use it. Learning how to use the faith that already... You know, this week I've been really praying after getting fired up from Larry Lee, and I've been asking God for a lot of things, and you know what He's been saying to me? You already have them. He says, you need to learn how to use what I've given you. You already got it. What you want me to do is not only give it to you, but to use it for you too. How many people know that for a little kid, that when you're trying to teach it to tie its shoestrings on its thing, they would rather you do it? But if you do it, then you'll be doing it. And you can see your child come at 21 years old, call you up, Mom, could you come over and tie my shoes for me this morning? But you make them go through certain things. And I want you to know tonight that the Proverbs 31 woman is the only way God knows how to make a woman. Let me say that again. That the Proverbs 31 woman is the mold that God used to make every woman. God doesn't make junk. And people know He doesn't make any junk. He doesn't. And the mold that He used to make every woman is the Proverbs 31 woman. There's a Proverbs 31 woman inside your wife, inside your mother, waiting to be discovered and then developed. Someone say amen. You men say with me, my wife is a Proverbs 31 woman. Say it again. My wife is a Proverbs 31 woman. I want you women to say, I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. Say it, come on. I'm a Proverbs 31 woman. You are. You are a Proverbs 31 woman. You are. Now Satan would say you're not. But I want to say that God's Word says that you are, and I'm going to prove that to you tonight. Because God doesn't make any junk. This is His standard. And what God wants us to do, not only as men, but as women, is discover what has already been there all the time and then develop it to its potential. It's imperative that we as men do this. The biggest brunt of this responsibility lies on us. It's my desire to help each of you men to discover the Proverbs 31 woman that is already in your wife and in your mother, and then teach you how to develop her to her potential. And wouldn't that be great if we could do that? I believe we can, and I believe that we will. Our success or failure depends on us as men. And then how the women respond. How many people know that women are basically responders? Men are basically initiators. And women usually respond to what men initiate, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Sometimes we cry about problems that we created. Oh, me. Something just flashed in my mind the last couple of days, and oh, Lord. Spirit of conviction starts with the pastor on down. Amen. Don, you sure you don't want to teach children's class tonight? Men, if we can do this, I want you to know we're the ones that will come out the winner. Look again in verse 10. It says, we can do this. She is more valuable than rubies. And I know how valuable a ruby is, and I would cherish it. I would hold it up. I'd keep it in a very special place. I'd take it out at different times. Anybody came into my house and I'd show that ruby. Oh, did you ever see my ruby? Did you ever see? It's a big ruby. It sparkles, it shines, and it's valuable. You know how much that's worth? That's worth $2 million. And yet it says this kind of woman, my wife or my mother, is more valuable than that. And I ought to do the same with her. I ought to be able every time. So, oh, did you ever meet my wife? Ooh, isn't she pretty? She's more valuable. You know how much she costs? Oh, man. I can't even say she's priceless. Priceless. The priceless woman. If we can do that, it says in verse 11, that we'll lack nothing of value if we can accomplish that. We're the ones that come out the winner. It says in verse 12, that she'll do us not harm, but good all the days of our lives. Boy, I'd like that. Now, my wife does me a lot of good, but sometimes she doesn't me a little bit of harm. Mainly because of the way I initiated something. I'd love it all the days of my life. And then over in verse 29, it says here, in the latter part, that she'll surpass all our expectations that we would have in a woman. She'd surpass, not only would she meet them, but she would surpass them. Ha! Huh. Hey, man. How many people know that that would be worth doing something in order to get that? Good, because I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. As men, this will be our greatest challenge. But a challenge we can meet, and we can get victory in. There's only one thing, and I'm going to make it real simple for you. There's only one thing that we have to do as men in order to accomplish this. I don't have a whole list of things. There's only one thing that we as men have to do in order to accomplish that. And if we can get a hold of that tonight, boy, we can reap the Proverbs 31 woman that we already have. And I want to continue to emphasize that we already have it. We just need to discover it and to develop. And in doing this one thing, I will teach you how to develop what you've discovered. All we have to do is this one thing in order to discover and develop the Proverbs 31 woman that's already in our life. And that is to understand her. Now, you men may be saying, well, Brother Jim, you've gone too far now. Who can understand a woman? At one time, when I first got married, I challenged myself to understand a woman, especially my wife, Diane, and I was getting real close to the place to where I thought I could understand her. And then something happened. She got pregnant. And the whole thing changed. It was a whole new ballgame. Who can understand a woman? It is very hard, I have to admit. It would be a lot simpler if women were like men. I could deal with them, you know? Because women are, how many of you know women are different? Besides the obvious things, besides the physical things, women are different. And I put the emphasis on different. And the only reason they're different is because I'm comparing them with me, the way I feel. You can't talk to a woman the same way you talk to a man. You can't act around a woman the same way you act around a man. It's totally different. And our greatest challenges as men is to learn that difference and to do something about it. Let's turn over to Genesis. This ought to give us guys a little help if we can understand. God said, in the beginning, God made man. Then he said he made him male and female. God made them. And he made him in his likeness. And that's a revelation to me one time when I realized not only is God like a man, or is man like God, but woman's like God, or God's like a woman. That there are feminine qualities that God has. Now, some of us in our thinking would think feminine qualities of God, and we would think that that would be almost sacrilegious to say that, because we don't understand that feminine qualities are very valuable qualities. And that God has all those qualities. And I'm thankful that God has the tenderness of a woman. He has treated me with tenderness that I've only one other time received, and that was from my mother. The compassion of a woman. In fact, in the beginning, God gave all those things, both the masculine qualities and the feminine qualities, to man. But then something happened. And let's read over in chapter 2, in verse 18. It says, God said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Then you read how he went through all the livestock and he couldn't find a helper suitable for him. And then over in verse 20, it says, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field for Adam. No suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's rib and closed up the place with the flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That a woman was taken out of us. And so in the beginning, we were both like, and I don't want to say any kind of crazy revelation here, just simply state it's not a revelation, it's just a fact. But God took those qualities, and I think, you know what I really think is God took the better qualities of man and took them out and made woman. I heard a little story one time that God made man, and he looked at it and he said, oh, took out its brains and made a woman. Is that how it goes, Diane? He said, well, or he made man, and he said, well, I could do better than that, and so he made a woman. And in some ways, I believe that's true. Took those qualities out that could really help a man. The things that we need. Sometimes I think that if we can understand women, we could really go a lot further in our understanding of God. But they're different. They're different in temperament. Women are different in characteristics. Women are different in needs. They're different in responsibilities. And as a consequence of that, they have different problems than men because of the responsibilities and the needs and the characteristics and the temperament. But a woman can be understood if we as men will do three things. So let's turn over to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 6. If we men will do these three things, we could understand a woman. And in understanding her, we could discover and develop the Proverbs 31 woman that God has already created into our wives and our mothers. Proverbs 2, 6 says this. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. The first thing that we need to do to understand women is to seek God for our wives. To spend some time in prayer where our wives are concerned. God, give me insight into them. Help me understand them. Help me know why they do the things that they do. How could I benefit them? How could I spur them on? The Bible says over in Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, consider. That means to think. Take some time how you might spur one another on towards love and good deeds. You only get out of something of what you're willing to put into it. And the first thing that God requires us to is to come to Him as Creator and say, why did you make a woman? And how can I understand her? And how can I relate her? How many people know we need help? And if we'll go to God, spend some serious time, then I guarantee you will get an understanding of your wife and woman like you've never got them before. The second thing is over Proverbs 4 and verse 7. Is that when you seek God, He's going to share some things for you to do. That's why a lot of us don't seek Him. We don't mind if they're seeking Him. We can just say we seek Him. But when you seek Him, He'll tell you something. He'll give you some understanding. And in that understanding, you're going to have to do something. And in verse 7, it says this in Proverbs 4. Wisdom